You know, I thought tonight we would talk just briefly about decluttering Christmas. I don't know if you feel it, but I feel like every year it just gets a little bit more and more and more cluttered. It's just like so much stuff keeps getting added. Like, I am not a bah humbug guy. If you come by my house, you're going to see an inflatable purple penguin on my lawn. You're going to see an inflatable unicorn on my lawn. You're going to see five inflatables on my lawn because I have five grandchildren, so there has to be one for each of them. And, you know, we've got the lights and some of them. This year I added some meteor lights. I don't know if you've seen those. Those are like, I paid like 18 bucks for them. And there's only six of them. Sometimes I don't read well. But some people really go nuts. And I just wonder, I don't know if you guys watch that show on ABC, The Great Light, Christmas Light Fight. Well, I saw this one the other night.
The Greek word is actually a word that means guest room.
in a guest situation, because they didn't have, you know, Motel 6 back then. It wasn't like that. And some scholars make a more educated guess, and they guess because Joseph was traveling back because of the census to the place of his family roots, that he had gone to his family house. And his family was the one who said, yeah, no room in the house. Ow. Ow. Well, why would they do that? Well, remember, arranged marriages, this virgin who, like, yeah, it's not my baby, it's God's, and you're telling that to your dad, and your dad is looking at you going, yeah, okay. She might have got you to buy that, I don't buy that. But anyway, family is likely rejecting them at this time of year. Nobody else is offering up this guest room. I can see that happen. I can also bring it forward to today, to some of us feeling abandoned or turned away during Christmas, during this season. And we wonder, and we ask, you know, why is everybody, it's all about family, it's all about this. And I think the point the scripture makes over and over again is that Jesus understands all that. I can see that happening. And then we know the Bible talks about shepherds on a hillside, right? Are shepherds scaredy cats? No. No, they're not scaredy cats. You know why? Because they fight wolves. They fight lions and stuff that come after their sheep. They're not going to put me as a shepherd. Do you know why, if I was a shepherd, what would happen if a wolf came? I'd go, run away! I'm not fighting a wolf. But we know these shepherds were on the hillside. And you know what else we know about shepherds? Is we know they were the lowest rung on the cultural ladder. They were the lowest of the low. Nobody wanted to invite the shepherds. They were people who lived in poverty. They were not of high esteem. So we know these are the shepherds, and God chooses to make this world-changing announcement to a group of poor, marginalized nobodies on a hillside. They were the first ones to hear that he has arrived. They were the first ones. It wasn't the religious bigwigs. He didn't make that announcement to them. It wasn't the king or even the government. It wasn't anybody in power. It was those shepherds. God makes his announcement to them. And that's why I would say, wherever you are, whatever your status is, whatever your position is, whatever your income is, God makes his announcement to you. To you, the same announcement. The angels came with a direct message. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. Well, shepherds were a little scared of this. You would be too. Even though they were brave, they were scared. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It doesn't say that it'll bring great joy for just the people who do what we want them to do. That it will bring great joy for just the people the evangelical church supports. It doesn't say they'll bring great joy. It says great joy for all the people. All of them. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And then a total curveball comes to these shepherds. A total curveball. The angel says, this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a food trough. What? The king? the Messiah will be laying in a food trough, in an animal feeding trough. You're telling us this. And so the curveball, the Savior, Christ the Lord, swaddling clothes, manger, they went and found him and worshiped him. It was a bright light, the heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The main thing is the plain thing, and the plain thing is the main thing. The message of Scripture is simple. The first part of it is that God loved. God loved. You know that wacky guy that used to be at football games with the wig and everything? John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. He gave his son. God loved. God gave. He gave his only son. The third thing, it says, we believe that those of us who believe receive. We receive him now. We receive him later. The hope of new life now, eternal life later. So it's a simple message. And then in verse 17, it says, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You feel condemned by churches? Man, I apologize. I apologize. I wish I could apologize to America for what's going on right now. I wish I could apologize and say, let's go back to what Scripture says. I know you feel condemned by the church. I know you don't feel good enough. I know you don't feel like you're enough. I know. But this is what Scripture says, that God loved the world so much that he gave his son, that whoever, that drug addict, that substance use sufferer, disorder sufferer, that person, he sent his son for him, just like he sent his son for me, just like he sent his son for you. Could we stop pretending that we are all that and a bag of chips? Because we're not. We're not. I just look and I want to apologize and say it was just a matter of a few hundred years before men started marketing the message of Jesus Christ. It was just a few hundred years before Constantine, the emperor of Rome, said, we're embracing this and we're empowering it and we're going to force everyone to follow our way. How much has changed? Still, we do that. Still, we do that. It continued through all the ages. Man took the good news of Jesus, the good news for all people, and made it about power and behavior control. Made it about advancing our own agendas. It still happens today. Condemning. But God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save it. We've gone from being all about Jesus and the good news of salvation for all who believe to twisting Jesus into an endorsement of our own agendas, our opinions, our desires. We don't shape ourselves in the image of Christ. We now shape Christ in the image that we want him to fit, so that he can advance what we want. In Genesis, God said, let there be light. On the hillside with shepherds, a bright light. When Jesus had grown, he told his followers, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then he later said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine. Let your light and your good deeds shine before men. What I want to ask you tonight, as we declutter Christmas, is this what your life looks like? Busy? Crowded? We're so filled up with everything else that we allow into our yards, into our lives. Things we even set up and then have to maintain, while the peace on earth and goodwill gets shoved to the side. If you look way over on the right, behind Santa, oh, there he is. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my life feels like that. And Jesus gets pushed over to the side, and then I wonder, where is the peace? Where is the life? Where is the hope? Well, it's kind of been crowded out. Is this Christmas Eve service maybe your 1.04 second of the year to focus on Christ? Or is this your life? It's dark, isolated. Maybe depression. You can't see much light at all. As we prepare to close our time together, we're going to turn off the lights. The music team's going to come up and get ready to play in the dark. Good luck, guys. As we prepare to close our time together, this front candle, they're representing hope, peace, joy, love, that come only from that center light which represents Christ. Which represents Christ. And so we're going to take this dark room and we're going to turn it around. We're going to turn it around. First, by accepting the light that Christ offers us, that Jesus, the hope, is for us. Jesus is for us. So as we receive the light, we're saying, yeah, take that light. And then second, by passing that light, being that light for others. Because there's somebody here who's in depression, and it's dark. There's others who are crowded out. And we need to receive that light and pass that. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Declutter Christmas. Take some moments tonight, tomorrow, to think about that simple message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, we thank you as we celebrate the birth. Lord, that we would be mindful, that we would take moments to just calm ourselves, to clear the clutter, Lord, and just focus on you and what that means. Lord, I pray that we would leave here tonight focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.